You're listening to Mocha Macabre.
Welcome to Mocha Macabre, the place where ghost stories brew dark and the coffee stays hot. I'm your host, James, from imonster.com, and every week I serve up a fresh cup of the paranormal, real-life hauntings, eerie encounters, and the unexplained. All with a splash of cream and a latte to die for. So grab your favorite mug, settle in, and sip something sinister. This is Mocha Macabre. What if I told you your house was haunted? It probably is. You just don't know yet. So most of our stories today revolve around haunted houses, except for one where the guy goes outdoors to a campfire, but it seems like there's no place that's safe from the demonic. So stay tuned. I've been meaning to ask, how do you guys take your coffee? Sugar, cream, or black? But seriously, leave me a friendly comment. I take my coffee with cream. Cream only. I used to use sugar and then I stopped because I was trying to be healthy and whatnot. And recently I put sugar in my coffee again and it was too much. So I guess it's been so long. Yeah, it's actually been like 7 years since I stopped using sugar. But I used to really like it with sugar and cream. But now it's just cream. But let's continue with the episode. So what's more disturbing for you, a haunting at 3 a.m. or in the middle of the day? Either way, our next stories will make you wonder if there's any time of the day that's safe. Good thing we have our cup of coffee by our side. It's not just delicious, it's a weapon to keep us awake, alert, and free from nightly encounters. I'm kidding. No, seriously, I'm kidding. Honestly, I just love coffee. I've been drinking coffee since I was 2 years old, and that's a true fact. Although I do have to say, I drink so much coffee, it doesn't keep me awake anymore. I guess that's good. It just means I can have another cup, right? So, for now, go prepare your cup of coffee before we begin. And while you prepare your tasty cup of java, I'll begin with another story. Now, this one takes place in the middle of the night. Comfortable neck. It's something weird happened to me last night. At around 11:30 to midnight, I was scrolling through my phone and saw a shadow walking behind it. Not like a human shadow, like an animal, a big animal. Kind of like a bear or a cow. I thought I was just tired, so I put my phone down and went to sleep. I woke up at around 2-3-ish in the morning, and I saw something looking at me through the corner of my bed. Like a big animal, literally staring, and made of something resembling red yarn or fabric. I got so scared, I yelled at it to go away, and it seemed to dissolve in the air right after that. I was really scared. My chest felt really tight, and suddenly I started sweating like I had been in a sauna all day. I stumbled out of my room and went to sleep in my brother's spare bed. It didn't matter either way because I couldn't sleep for the rest of the night. Has anyone else had a similar encounter with something like this? Or does anybody know what that would have been? For more context, my house and family have a history with entities and things. They go inside and stay inside, doing their own thing and whatnot. This thing was like anything I'd felt in my house before. It felt so oppressive and evil that I could only think of running. My brother says my room is the most energetically charged in the house, that it always feels really dense and uncomfortable. I don't know. I'm still very shaken up. So this is just me speculating, but it sounds to me like you were visited by some kind of demon hound, devil hound, like one of those dogs. My family has, I don't know if it's like the Latino culture, we just believe in that stuff a lot. So it happens more often. I don't know, but I've had my dad tell me stories of devil hounds in the past. You know, he's from Central America, and he has seen some things like in the jungle, in the forest and stuff like that. But actually, you know what? Let me just tell you one of the stories he told me. I remember he once told me this horrifying story about a haunted apartment my parents used to live in. It's not a long story, but let me share it. He says, one hot summer night, you, me as in James me, and your mother were trying to sleep. But it was so hot, we were both sweating through our clothes. And while you slept in your crib, I felt a nice draft of air pass through the room. It was a nice break from the heat. Seconds later, I felt an ice-cold body embrace me from behind. I jumped up and out of bed screaming. I raced to the door because I did not want to be in that room with something that could do that. But I panicked. And when you start to panic, all reason goes out the window. So I ran to the door, which was currently closed, and I couldn't open it. I pushed and turned the knob, but it wouldn't budge. It turns out I was so freaked out, I had forgotten the door opens inward. I felt silly after that, but I'll never forget that feeling. It was like death itself embraced me. We moved out shortly after that. I think one encounter for me, like that, one physical encounter, and I'm moving out. I mean, it's something different to be like, oh, I think I heard something. But as soon as something like touches me, nope, you can have your house back. I'm gone. Bye. So pretty smart of my parents to move out, I think. So this brings me to our next story. Sometimes moving out is not an option, and sometimes it's a priority you need to address. Here is her story. In May, my husband and I moved out of an apartment and into our first house. Our move came at an amazing time because we were expecting our first baby, and our last apartment was much smaller, noisy, and I believe quite haunted. Below is a list of all the odd happenings we, but mostly I, experienced in the approximate order they occurred over our 1.5 years in the apartment. Number 1. I got home and had a sense that someone was there. I called my husband's name in the hall, by the second bedroom, where he keeps his clothes, and the bedroom door opened as if my husband was responding to me. There was no one in the room or elsewhere in the apartment. Number 2. We were hanging a wooden mask that my husband owns, and I was having a bit of a laugh, asking the mask's permission to use it as decor. Husband left the room, and I said to myself, I'll never sleep again. At that moment, I heard a loud knock, 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 in the cadence I have only heard in scary movies. Nothing like when someone was knocking at our door or the door of the neighbor in the building. Number 3. Husband woke up in the night and saw a shadowy man wearing a brimmed hat with red eyes glowing in his face. The man was staring at us from the corner of the bedroom. Husband now claims it was a dream. But that week he came home with sage to cleanse our home. So it clearly spooked him. Okay, so number 4 has to be by far the scariest. I mean, all of the points she brings up are very scary, but this one here, if it were to ever happen to me, and you know, I have already, I feel, just thinking about this, if I think about this before I go to bed, I can't sleep anymore because I'm so scared. But anyway, number 4. She writes, I woke up in the early morning with my foot sticking out of the covers. I had a thought that I should pull it in so the ghost doesn't touch it. Simultaneously, I felt a poke in the arc of my foot. I pulled it under the covers and opened my eyes. I saw the torso of a glowing green form standing at the other side of the bed. My eye mask was blocking my view of the form's upper half. I thought to myself, yes, I'm awake and I'm really seeing that thing. No, I don't want to see more. Then I pulled my eye mask back down completely. I felt the blanket lift up at my feet a few times, but I played dumb, not wanting to encourage it. The next night, I felt the blanket lift up again, but I continued to pretend to sleep. It hasn't happened again. Wow. Okay, so that is freaky. I do not want any invisible forces pulling my feet, touching my feet, pulling on my blanket. No, please, no. Oh my God. Oh my God. That is terrifying. But can you believe she has more bullet points to share? Number 5. After chopping vegetables for a few minutes, another knife came out of the knife block and scattered across the floor. We've had the block for at least 5 years, and that has never happened. The block holds the knives at a downward diagonal angle, making it seem as though the knife had to be pulled out against gravity. Number 6. I was walking past the bathroom with a snack when I urgently had to pee. So I placed a snack on the bathtub rim while I did my business. I know this is sort of gross, but pregnancy drives you to weird behaviors. This loud, guttural sound started coming from the tub drain and didn't stop until I left the bathroom. We had never heard that sound before or after, so it doesn't seem to be a plumbing issue. Okay, so those are all her bullet points. But any one of these is more than too much. But, she continues, some details that seem important to note for some reason, only the last two incidents happened while I was pregnant. Our apartment was in a building built in 1931, and our house was built in 1899, in the same neighborhood. Our apartment building was sort of a dump, a good place to try to save money, but had a lot of turnover, evictions, weird smells, loud neighbors, etc. Our neighbors were very nice, and I never felt afraid of anyone living. But the vibes of the place had me uneasy. After moving into our house, the unease had totally lifted. I'm no longer weary of the dark, which is great because my pregnant butt has to visit the bathroom a few times each night. I say all that because it seems likely that a lot of former tenants of that apartment, living and dead, would have unfinished beef with that place and the slumlord who owns it. Hopefully this house doesn't have that baggage and will be left in peace. When I read this story, I was like, wow, this is some terrifying stuff. I have to read it on the podcast. Got a spooky ghost story for me? Well, you can submit it on my website at imonster.com. That's imonstre.com, or email me at info@imonster.com. You can go ahead and use the contact form on my website as well, but I've also created a forum on my website where you can add your true ghost story as well. So there's multiple ways to contact me in case you want to submit a story, but I'd love to hear it. Please feel free to share. Okay, so I'm going to try something a little different because this next story was a story, but it was also a conversation I was having with somebody on Reddit. And so I'm going to use an AI voice to simulate the other person talking, but I just want you to be aware.
I was solo camping in the Mount Rainier foothills around 1990. I was getting ready to climb into my sleeping bag and the entire area went absolutely silent, not even a whisper. I was in a small clearing with the tree line about 60 feet away, using a large granite rock as a heat reflector for my fire. If you've spent any time in the woods, you know it's never silent, not even at night. I didn't have a gun with me, but I slowly reached out and took hold of the handle of my camp knife. I eased it out of the sheath and sat there silently for a second, and I will put my hand to God that from the tree line I heard a low chuckle, like someone with a very deep voice found my pathetic weapon amusing. I spent the entire night sitting next to the largest fire I could build, back against that rock, knife in my hand, and not even within a heartbeat of sleeping. The moment I could see my hand in front of my face, I threw everything in my pack, stomped out my fire, and bolted for the trailhead where my car was.
Oh my God. I think any type of deep laughter when you're alone is scary enough. Add the woods and it becomes terrifying. Is there any lore surrounding the woods where you were sleeping in? Something that made you wonder if it was the, I don't know, fill in the blank people talk about or something?
There are legends of ape men all through the Salish tribal histories from the area. How much stock I put in them is another thing. I've done a lot of solo camping, and that's still the creepiest thing I've encountered anywhere. It freaked me out more than coming face to face with a mountain lion. One thing is for certain, it doesn't matter what I believe. As long as Ike believes, I'm going to stay properly paranoid and heavily armed.
That is absolutely terrifying. I cannot believe it. It's a small encounter, you know, if you compare it to the previous story, but this is equally terrifying. Something evil laughing at you, something that you can't see or explain, that's terrifying. And I think what made it even more terrifying was that last statement he made. As long as it believes, he's going to stay paranoid and heavily armed, because, you know, that's what they say about the devil and demonic forces. So it just makes this so, so scary. Wow. So I don't know about you guys, but I had to take a break to get my second cup of coffee. So feel free to pause it if you need a refill. Otherwise, we can continue with the show. Okay, so this next story is about this woman who is visiting her boyfriend at the time, who lived in this amazing mansion that was haunted. So it is by Vixen284, and she writes, "Years ago, I was in England at an ex-boyfriend's home in a large Victorian mansion in Brandon, Suffolk, gorgeous English countryside. It was his parents' home that had been in the family for about 3 generations, if I remember correctly. He was called into work and I was left at home with his mother. She came upstairs to let me know that she was going to be running errands and she would be gone for the day, so I was home alone. After an hour passed, I got up to use the bathroom, which was inside the bedroom. Instinctively, I went in and locked the door out of habit, even though I was home alone. The doors to both the bedroom and bathroom were closed and locked. I heard knocking on the bedroom door and I kept answering, expecting someone to come in, but no one did. I heard knocking again, called out for them to come in, but there was no answer. I assumed it was his mom who forgot something and returned to the house. A couple of minutes later, I heard a woman's voice from the other side of the wall, inside the bathroom, calling my name. And I kept answering, really thinking it was his mom. I heard this woman calling me 3 or 4 times, to which I answered, but never got a response. About 45 minutes later, my ex came home. I told him his mom was knocking on the door, but she must have not heard me. I felt really bad because when I left the bathroom, she had left the house again. He was super confused because he told me his mom had been out all day. And she wasn't back home, so I told him she must have left. She told me she was leaving, but then less than an hour later, I assumed she forgot something because she definitely came back and was knocking on the door and calling me because I could hear her from the bathroom. His mom got back home 3 or 4 hours later and around the dinner table. I apologized for not getting to her before she left the house again. She looked at me like I was absolutely insane. She had no idea what I was talking about, so I explained the story, and she very flippantly said, oh, that must have been the ghost of that girl. And everybody laughed. I laughed too, but this house was super creepy, and I kind of believed it because I definitely believe in the paranormal stuff. My ex got really serious and looked at me and said, I'll talk to you about it later. After dinner, we went back upstairs, and he asked me to show him where I heard the woman. I replied, oh, just on the other side of the wall in the bathroom. And he asked, the wall in the bathroom? I said, yeah, the wall in the bathroom. And he asked me to show him. So we went to the bathroom and I pointed to the wall and he said, you realize the other side of that wall is the outside of the house, right? We were about 4 stories up. This house was massive. It was literally a mansion. He said I turned white as a ghost because I hadn't realized the situation. We were extremely high up, and on the other side of that wall was a courtyard with an in-ground pool far below us. He shared a story with me about a young woman from the 1800s who lived with her family in this house. She entered a relationship with an older man, which the family disapproved of, and they forbade her from seeing him. However, she rebelled and continued to see him anyway. When the family found out she was secretly seeing him, they locked her in a room, which happened to be my ex's bedroom. I'm not quite sure how long she was locked in the room, but there used to be train tracks behind the house that you could still see in the courtyard. Apparently, she threw herself out the window and landed on the train tracks, and people have heard her calling their names for years on end since she died. The whole family assumed she was the one calling me because I was always at the house. Needless to say, I never wanted to sleep in there again. Pretty fascinating, I have to say. I don't know. I think it's kind of cool that you got to be in this gorgeous, probably historic house. And you probably lived some kind of recurring historical, maybe not documented encounter, right? You probably, if you tried to search for something that happened in the house, maybe there are no records of what might have happened. Maybe this story of the woman throwing herself from the house and landing on the train tracks is like a, you know, like a legend, a family legend or something. But I think it's very fascinating that you got to experience that. And yeah, that is scary. I would have freaked out too. And I would have never wanted to go back. But I just think it's really fascinating that you got to experience that. That you got to experience, I don't know, it almost feels like you got to travel back in time for a bit. But yeah, definitely scary. I'm not discounting that one bit. So, I love it when a non-believer believes in ghosts. I mean, a non-believer is not going to believe in a ghost or the paranormal, right? But when they are proven, when a ghost is like, hey, what's up? Here I am. And they're like, well, that's a ghost. And then they become a believer. I think that's pretty cool. And this next story comes from a non-believer who saw proof of the paranormal and then became a believer. So he writes, I was never one to believe in ghosts, and I am usually quick to dismiss online stories about the paranormal, or in general. I always take them with a grain of salt. That being said, I lived in a house growing up that changed my mind. Two specific instances come to mind. I'll start with the craziest. I used to have a trampoline when I was growing up. I spent most of my days on it. Even when I wasn't jumping, I'd just hang out there. One night, I had a friend over at my house. I was about 12 years old and didn't have a phone yet, but my friend did. We were outside around midnight just talking, hanging out on a trampoline, and he was texting or doing something on his phone, not paying attention. I remember something catching my eye, getting my attention as it stood out against the dark backdrop of the night. I'm being dead serious when I tell you I saw what appeared to be an old-timey soldier, like Civil War, maybe even Revolutionary War. He had a large, tall hat and an old-style military coat. He was white, translucent, see-through, just like the movies, and he was facing away from me and walking towards a gravel road. I watched him take a good 3 or 4 steps, and I still remember, to this day, the shock. I couldn't believe what I was seeing. It was so surprising to me, especially since I didn't believe there was such a thing. I audibly gasped. I was stunned, and I looked at my friend and I said, "We gotta go." I ran inside, he saw my reaction, and of course ran behind me and asked me what was going on. When I told him, he became angry. He was a year older than me. He instantly dismissed my claim and didn't believe me. His reaction made me decide to keep the experience to myself, as I didn't want to seem as a crazy person or a liar. I know what I saw, and it was as real as anything else I've ever seen. It was a full-body apparition, and if not for his being white and translucent, I would have thought he was some kind of costume walking around my yard. Even though I never talked about it, it still weighed heavily on my mind. I thought about it constantly. Was it an illusion? Did I fall asleep temporarily? But then about three or four years later, at the same house with a different friend, who saw it this time unlike the other friend who was distracted by his phone. We got out of school and it drove us to my house, and nobody else was home at the time. And we walked in the door and went to the kitchen. Right when I walked in, I noticed this empty mayonnaise jar upside down on the counter, and it was rocking back and forth, kind of teeter-tottering. I instantly thought a mouse or something was trapped in the jar, so I was embarrassed. We watched for a few seconds and the jar progressively started moving erratically, rocking back and forth and moving along the counter like something was frantically trying to escape. It was nearly tipping over. Then it fell and nearly tipped over the other direction. We watched for about 20 seconds while I was thinking of how to dispose of whatever creature was stuck inside of it. I grabbed the container and told him, I'm going to catch this mouse, so you better flip the jar over so I can trap it. We slowly approached the frantically rocking jar and flipped it over. Nothing came out, so I picked it up, and it was completely empty. The jar was moving erratically, seemingly by some unseen force. There was nothing that ran when we flipped the jar, and the jar was empty, I swear to God. We were so shocked we hardly even talked about it, because what is there to say? We were stunned and a bit scared, so we left soon after and went to his house instead. In a way, it felt good to have some sort of confirmation that I saw what I saw all those years ago. I wasn't crazy, and it felt good to have a witness. I'm 24 years old now, and I think about it daily. I'm not exaggerating. Not a day goes by I don't reflect on it and wonder. We moved from that house before I graduated high school, and I've not encountered anything like that since. Even though they were seemingly innocent and non-malicious encounters, I'd be fine with never experiencing it again, because malicious or not, it's still scary and world-shattering, at least for me. Take it with a grain of salt, as I'm just a random guy on the internet, but for what it's worth, I swear to God, both of these stories are true. So I'll leave you this night with these 5 haunting tales. I hope that after you're done with your delicious cup of Java, you can get some good sleep. Or, I don't know, maybe you want to sleep with the lights on tonight. I'll see you guys next week. Thanks for sipping something sinister with me on Mocha Macabre. I'm your host, James, from iMonster.com. And if you enjoyed today's tale, don't forget to subscribe, leave a review, and share the chills with a friend. If you want to submit your spooky ghost story, you can do so by email, info@imonster.com. That's info@imonster.com. Until next time, stay weird, stay caffeinated, and sleep with one eye open.
Don't forget to like and subscribe if you dare.